funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from South Bend, Indiana. The Studebaker family started their trajectory as a seminal icon of American automobile manufacturers back in 1852, when the Studebaker brothers started a South Bend, Indiana blacksmith shop. In 1902, the brothers introduced a line of electric vehicles, and Studebaker remained as an iconic and sometimes trend-setting manufacturer until the mid-1960s, when Studebaker's last hurrah was the classic Avante, crafted by legendary industrial designer Raymond Loewy. The Avante, unveiled in 1962, remains as a timeless, treasured, mid-century modern work of manufacturing art. Come along and join Maria Drevet, program manager at the South Bend, Indiana Studebaker National Museum. Next door to the museum is the 38-room Oliver Mansion, built by J.D. Oliver, owner of the South Bend, Indiana-based Oliver Chill Plow Company. The mansion is striking due to its opulence, with 14 fireplaces, hand-hewn stone exterior, and leaded glass windows. It remains as a timeless classic 126 years later. One has the sense that the family just stepped out for a stroll. Come along and join Marilyn Thompson, Director of Marketing with the History Museum of South Bend. Maria Drevet?
Drevet,
yeah. There you go. Little French roots there?
I believe so. It's my husband's last name, and they are think it's French, but they also are people that are just like, eh, we don't care. Yeah. We are at the Studebaker Museum here in South Bend, Indiana.
This is the home
Yes.
of Studebaker.
Yes, this is where they're from.
Going back to wagon days, right?
Going back to wagon days, the company, depending on how you declare its founding, started here in 1852.
And they were cutting edge, early developers of the automobile, right?
They were definitely one that saw that's where the future was going. Mm-hmm. So they decided to, you know, start investing in that carriage era, even as they were building wagons at the same time. At one point in their history, they were building gas cars, electric cars, and wagons all at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Just to cover all your bases.
So they had electric cars, kind of like the mm-hmm. Baker.
Yes, early electrics.
Like 1912?
1912, 1907, kind of all those early eras, that yeah. early 1900s.
Really cool.
Yeah.
So here we're at the museum,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
you have an array of everything we talked about and more.
Yes, we start with the Studebaker's Conestoga they took here to South Bend up through the last car produced by Studebaker in Canada in 1966.
Oh, wow.
We cover all of that and then, you know, along the way, a smattering of prototypes from Studebaker's history, some other pieces talking about some other parts of local industrial history, but we kind of cover the width and breadth of Studebaker's.
Next door, there's a mansion.
Yes.
That has a connection.
Somewhat. Next door to us is the Oliver Mansion, and that belonged to the Oliver family. They're the ones that founded Oliver Chilled Plow Works. So they were contemporaries of the Studebakers, so their families would grow up in town at the same time. There is other mansions in town that have Studebaker roots that belong to Studebaker family members, but the one next door would be another example of just how much industry was based in South Bend. Studebaker wasn't some, like, random company in this town with nobody else. There was Oliver, there was Studebaker, there was Singer Sewing Machine. Most of their cabinet boxes were made in South Bend at one point. If you wanted something built, chances were there was a company in South Bend building it.
Oh, interesting. So how did Studebaker come to be here?
The family had been in Ohio and decided to make the move to South Bend just for economic opportunities. South Bend really was at a crossroads at the point. Traffic coming down from up in Michigan, traffic coming across from Chicago. It was beginning to be kind of the crossroads of America. So Studebaker was kind of at the center of it. So this is where they settled. And then the family just really fell in love with the area and really decided to continue investing in the community from the company and from the different civic projects they took on over time.
Their last hurrah, as you alluded to, around mid-60s, that's period of the advent of the Avante.
Yes, the Avante. Studebaker's last designed automobile, introduced in 1963, kind of as a last attempt to get some momentum going for the company. Didn't work as well as they would have hoped, only was built for 1963 or in 1964, but today is still kind of a quintessential mid-century modern designed. Whenever they have, I believe in, there's a city in California, they always do like a mid-century week, and there's always Studebakers parked in front of the mid-century houses because they just, the Avantes just fit perfectly those mid-century modern houses.
And the designer of the Avante was probably a foremost product designer, design guy of the 20th century.
So Raymond Loewy and Raymond Loewy and Associates would take on that design process. Depending on who you ask, it's probably one of his guys that designed it, not him. But he knew when to spot talent and made full use of that to get this Avante designed in a very short time frame.
And as I recall, he designed the modern Coke bottle.
Yes. Once again, it's how much is heresy, how much is he's claimed it, and he was not afraid just to use a little bit of self-promotion. But he has definitely designs like that, some train designs, a pencil sharpener that I know people like, and then, of course, several other Studebakers, including, like, the Starliner design, are attributed to Raymond Loewy.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So what happened? Why did Studebaker fold?
So it's a very complicated question. One could probably point to a myriad of reasons, but at the end of the day, Studebaker was a diversified corporation by the 60s, and all their other parts of the portfolio made money, but cars didn't. So they eased out of the car market. The South Bend plants were closed in December of 1963. The Canadian plant in Hamilton, Ontario was kept open until 66. So they did slowly ease out of that automotive field. But it depends on who you ask. It depends on which factors you're looking at. But at the end of the day, it didn't save them. So
what happened to the Studebaker enterprise post-automobile?
Slowly sold off bits and bobs like corporations. So slowly dissolved away until you can't find any record of any Studebaker corporation since. So just sold off as the times go on.
Are there Studebaker family people still live around here?
A few. After the first generation of Studebaker brothers in the company, there would be a few involved with the company throughout its history, but never quite in like the president capacity.
Right.
So there'd be a few involved, but not as many. Like, because there was the five boys and five girls, and a lot of them didn't have kids, so there really are less lines of the family than there were in the local area. However, there's lots of Studebakers. If you go to the Ohio area, the Studebaker family has their own a museum there. They have a big family reunion every 4 years, I think, and there's several hundred of them that get together every year. So,
but none that live in South Bend anymore?
I think there's a few. We know a few, but there's not, you know, what you would think from having five boys. There's not as many people as you'd think. We don't have a, you know, conglomeration of them.
Yeah. So give us a word picture of where we're at and what is here at the museum.
You're just going to see some beautiful craftsmanship from that wagon period up through that automobile period.
And how many vehicles do you have here?
Over 100. People always say there's less, but there's definitely over 100. They were not afraid of colors, so cars of every color, all original paint colors, so we don't go off the books, but they believed in color. About over 100 vehicles spread across three floors, anything from a military collection to cars from the 1950s on, usually some sort of special exhibition talking about a particular part of the car world. But if you like a certain kind of automobile from, you know, 1920 through 1966, we probably have a design you'll like.
And back to military, World War II, what Studebaker manufactured?
They manufactured B-17 bomber engines. They manufactured the Weasel, which is this treaded vehicle. It also came in an amphibious version. And then they made some half-ton, ton trucks, usually under the US 6 designation. Mm-hmm. So those three products were what they built during the war. All civilian production for a lot of companies completely ceased.
All here at South Bend.
Yep, all here in South Bend. So they had a plant on kind of the south side of town that did a lot of Lane engine building. And then the other work was spread across some various other spots. But, yep, all that production here in South Bend during the World War II era.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
To learn more about your world, Maria.
To learn more, we have a website, studebakermuseum.org. Of course, you can visit us here in South Bend. We're open most days throughout the year. And then, of course, we have social media channels and a slowly but surely growing YouTube video collection, so you can check out some history even if you can't make it in.
And the website again?
StudebakerMuseum.org. And my name is Maria Gervet.
Maria, thank you so much.
Of course.
This has been a great morning. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Studebaker Museum in South Bend, Indiana. We'll see you here.
We are in the beautiful Victorian Oliver Mansion. It has 38 rooms and was completed in 1897, over 125 years ago. Copsha Home, as the family named it.
Tell us about the Oliver family and how they came into their wealth and came to live here.
James Oliver, who was J.D.'s father, invented a method of chilling a plow so that the blade became much more durable than what had been on the market. And it was successful. They produced it, and they were able to sell it not only throughout their community, but nationwide and also in time around the world. So they became very successful because of James' inventive abilities and because of J.D., his son's marketing and financial genius.
When did they first develop their plow?
The plow was developed in the 1850s. The family developed the plow and then began manufacturing it, started promoting it, and it became very successful to farmers because they therefore could take the plow into their fields without such a worry of having the blade break right in the middle of their season or losing time by having to have the blade repaired. So it became very successful because of the farmer's ability to have success with it.
The manufacturing plant was based here in South Bend?
Yes, the Oliver Chill Plow Works was here in South Bend. It was located about 3 blocks south of Copsha Home. We understand that Mr. Oliver would walk home sometimes during the day and conduct business here in his mansion, in his very own den, which was why he enjoyed having the den in his house, so that he could conduct business with business associates or clients who were traveling in from out of town.
So once they introduced gasoline-powered tractors,
they went on to then merge with a company who then they did have tractors as part of what they sold. So
but their plows for the tractors they continue to manufacture, correct?
Yes. Absolutely.
More about the house. The house was built in 1898?
It was completed in 1897. The family moved in on New Year's Day, 1897, into their new home. And the house has 38 rooms. The family, when they moved in, there were 4 children, Mr. and Mrs. Oliver and their 4 children, who ranged in age from about 11 months to 14 years old. The family lived here for the next 75 years, or members of that original family. Mr. and Mrs. Oliver passed away in the 1930s, but their youngest child, Catherine, remained here. She never married and lived out her life here in the Oliver Mansion, in her home, as did her older brother, Joseph Oliver Jr., who had married, but at a young age his wife died, and so he came back to Copsha Home, took up residence, and lived here for the rest of his life as well. He died in 1972. So for many decades, this home was lived in by that original Oliver family, or members of that original Oliver family.
Is this the most opulent home residence in South Bend?
It is one of the most opulent homes. I can tell you that Tippecanoe Place, which was the Studebaker's home, was located just a couple of blocks down the street, and their home was built just a few years before Kopsha home. And in fact, the Olivers and the Studebakers were both very successful in the industrial scene here in South Bend, and they were friends. Mr. J.D. Oliver met his wife, Anna Oliver, because when she was in school, she came home with a classmate, Miss Studebaker, to South Bend. She was visiting and met J.D. Oliver at a dinner party. And then in time, the two were married, and it goes from there.
And the Studebaker mansion is still here?
It is still here. It is now a restaurant known as Tippecanoe Place. There are several unique features of Kopsha Home. One, of course, is that the home is shown with all furnishings intact. So when visitors walk through Kopsha Home, all of the furniture, all of the furnishings that they see are original to the home. That's unique for a historic house. But also the fact that only one family ever lived in this home. That's unique for many historic houses that sometimes do get sold or used for other purposes. So when people come to see Kopsha Home, they do get a remarkable glimpse of what it was like for the family who lived here, what it looked like. And several say to us, I feel as though the family has just stepped out for a moment and will soon be returning because everything looks so home-like. And the reason for that is because it was home-like. And when the Oliver family donated the house to the History Museum, it was intact, and we now are able to give guided tours daily to show how the family lived.
Talk to us about the name of the home and how that came to be.
Yes. When the Oliver family first moved in, there was no name for the house, but very shortly after, they named their home Kopsha Home in honor of J.D.'s father, James Oliver. Kopsha Home is the ancient name of the village in Scotland where James Oliver was born. It was a name that had a lot of meaning for the entire family, and it was a quite respectful and honorable thing for them to do. It has a meaning when translated to a clump of trees on a hill overlooking a river.
So tell us more. What are you most proud of? What is close to your heart?
When we acquired the home and the furniture and the furnishings, there were also letters and diaries and journals. And through these, we get a very good and private look at the family, not only because of their generosity in donating the mansion to us, but through the way that they were with our community in providing funds for a hotel. The Oliver Hotel was built through their funds. The Oliver Opera House, they enjoyed culture. They wanted their community to learn about culture too, and several other buildings. Through all of these ways, it gives us a good look at the family, what they thought was important, what was close to their heart, their generosity, the way that they treated people with kindness, with respect. That, I think, is what is close to my heart, just the way that the family was.
Tell us a little bit more about where you're located. You're right next door to this museum, right?
The History Museum is the second oldest and second largest historical society in the state of Indiana. The History Museum has been in this community for decades. In 1994, built the museum that we have now with the 7 galleries of exhibits. It was at that time that the family donated Kopsha Home to the History Museum. So we acquired the mansion and all of the grounds, built the museum, which people can enjoy today. In 2005, the Studebaker National Museum made a decision to build a new building, and they built it adjacent to our museum so that visitors can have the remarkable experience of parking in one parking lot, which is free, by the way, enter one front door, buy one ticket, and be able to spend time visiting both museums, the History Museum, the Oliver Mansion, and the Studebaker National Museum. And we think that that is very much appreciated, but very much enjoyed by visitors who travel here, as well as the local community.
You're located right in the heart of downtown South Bend, Indiana?
We are at 808 West Washington, 8 blocks west of downtown South Bend. So very convenient. We're close to hotels and beautiful restaurants, many other attractions, things to do. So a family, business associates can come here and be very well entertained for a good number of days.
How close to Notre Dame University are you?
We are just south of the University of Notre Dame, and in fact, we work frequently with all of the universities in town, but including the University of Notre Dame. So again, one can have a hotel either on campus or in downtown South Bend, and with a matter of under 10 minutes, be able to travel to any of the sites that I've mentioned, and that's unusual and very well appreciated by visitors.
So for a good walker, you can walk anywhere.
Well, you can walk downtown, that's for certain. I'm not sure that I would walk to the campus because it's maybe a little bit far for that, but they enjoy walking on the campus. I do know that for sure.
Okay, to learn more about Oliver Kopcha Home and the History Center.
Our website is historymuseumsb.org. History Museum SB, the S and the B, of course, standing for SouthBend.org. So in northern Indiana, in all of Indiana, we think we are one of the prime attractions for people to visit. Marilyn Thompson, Director of Marketing, the History Museum.
Marilyn, thank you for sharing. This has been a great journey back in time.
Thank you.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from South Bend, Indiana. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
Why don't you go where Harlem sits? Pour another wrist. Spangled gowns upon the bevy of highbrow from down the levee, all misfits putting on the wrist. Why, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes every Thursday evening with her swell bow rubbing elbows. Come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 bits putting on the wrist.